Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Seminarians, a dialogue with students from the Pontifical College Josephinum, produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire vocations to the religious life. And now, The Seminarians.
Welcome to The Seminarians Show. I'm John Nargang from the Diocese of Phoenix. Joining me are Rob Johnson from the Diocese of Columbus and Rick Childress from the Diocese of Nashville. And today we're joined by a special guest, Chris Yackel, another seminarian from your very own Diocese of Columbus. Why don't we begin with a prayer? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to have you here to introduce you to many people in your own diocese, so, and to have give you an opportunity to share your story and just to hear another seminarian testimony. It's always kind of fun. So, well, yeah.
Well, one thing that we should note for our listeners that sets Chris apart from most of us at the Josephinum is not only is he studying for the Diocese of Columbus, which is sponsoring him, but he's also studying for the military archdiocese. So after he gives some years of service right here in the local church, he'll be going off to help our troops overseas.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's definitely a unique kind of thing for seminarian and a special track, so to speak, for the seminarian to engage on. So we will definitely be talking about that as part of this program. But why don't we start, Chris, with you just telling us a little bit about your background?
Sure. So my dad was in the military for almost 30 years. He served in the Air Force, and so grew up in a Catholic family. I have a older sister who's married with two kids and a younger brother who lives and works up in Cleveland. And both my parents are originally from Ohio, so this is my home state. but yeah, growing up, since my dad was in the Air Force, moved all over the place. I was born in North Carolina, went to Washington State, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Illinois, wow. England, Hawaii, Minnesota. So like all over the place, a lot of moving around growing up. Eventually, once I graduated from high school, I went off to college. I went to Miami, Ohio for my undergrad. Okay. So down in Oxford, Ohio. And I got a degree in health promotion. And then after college, I went to serve with Net Ministries for 2 years. And then after that is ultimately when I ended up entering the seminary.
What is Net Ministries? I'm sorry, I don't know.
Yeah, no problem. Good question. So Net Ministries, it stands for National Evangelization Teams. And it's a Catholic organization. Their mission is challenging young Catholics to love Christ, embrace the life of the church. And they do essentially youth ministry, but at a missionary level. A lot of the missionaries go around the country putting on retreats for different Catholic parishes, different high schools, things like that. And then myself, I was on a team that was at one high school for the whole time I served, the whole 2 years. So I was doing more discipleship-based activities.
Now, Chris, were you always pretty engaged with your faith growing up, or how did that
my parents were really good. Like, they took us to Mass every Sunday. We would pray together every night and had dinner together, and so really just a tight-knit family, and the faith was definitely something that was important to my family growing up. For me, I kind of was like just a normal kid, I would say, where I would kind of like fly through my prayers as fast as possible so I could get outside and go play sports or whatever. Even, you know, it's funny joking around with some of the seminarians at the Josephinum, listening to them share their stories. I was definitely not one of those guys who, I know there's a lot of guys who have been thinking about the priesthood since they were like third grade or younger or whatever, but I was definitely not one of those, stories. The faith was definitely important to me, but it was kind of like a gradual process of growth, and especially once I got to college, I think just being around a lot of other, I got involved with the campus ministry there and being involved with a lot of other young adults my age who are just as excited about the faith really got me even more excited, and I started getting more involved and going on mission trips and going to different events through the church.
Cool. Now, did Net Ministries have a connection with Miami of Ohio, or how did that start to enter the picture?
Yeah, so I guess I'm kind of tying in my vocation story with it, if that's all right.
But
after my first year of college, I had the opportunity to go to World Youth Day in Sydney, Australia. So that was back in 2008. And just, that was such a life-changing event for me for a number of different reasons. But two of the biggest ones being, one, just realizing the universality of the church. Like, I really experienced it there. You'd be in a room just like this and have people talking in so many different languages, and you're like, oh, wow, being Catholic, it's not just a thing in my whole parish, it's everywhere.
Right.
So that was huge. And then also, something about World Youth Day, the Eucharist really clicked for me. I don't know what it was, but something about just the reality of what we're celebrating at Mass really struck me in a profound way. And also, kind of going with that, just seeing like a lot of priests around Sydney during World Youth Day who are just normal guys living out their faith in that way. And I, for the first time, I was like, oh, maybe it's not crazy to think about the priesthood. Maybe this is something I should think about. And so going to college after that, going back for my second year, I started again getting more involved, especially again with the Eucharist, trying to go to daily Mass as much as I could, as much as my schedule allowed, starting to go to Holy Hours, Eucharistic Adoration, which was huge for me. That was really big in my prayer life then. And this whole time, like, I started to have, I was discerning the priesthood even then, and like started talking to my parish priest about it.
Okay.
But really, I kind of put it on the back burner for a while towards the end of college, because I really felt like I called to finish my degree. And I went on a mission trip to Mexico through an organization called Family Missions Company. It's a Catholic missionary group down in Louisiana. So I had an opportunity to go on a mission trip with them, and that just set my heart on fire for mission. And so towards the end of college, before I started entering the workforce for health promotion, I figured, oh, maybe I should check out some mission work for a year or two first and see how that goes. And my sister had completed a year of Net Ministries during my senior year, and she told me she thought I would love it, and so I decided to give it a try, and ended up taking that path, and it was great.
That's really cool. It sounds like your faith took some great strides while you were still in college, which is always very encouraging to hear. You're listening to The Seminarian Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m., and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. I'm John Nargang from the Diocese of Phoenix. Joining me are Rick Childress from the Diocese of Nashville, Rob Johnson from the Diocese of Columbus, and our special guest, Chris Yackel, also from the Diocese of Columbus.
Chris, you mentioned that you had a sister. Do you only have it? Is it just you and a sister?
So it's my older sister, and she's married with two kids, and then I have my younger brother as well.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And how did your parents react when you told them that you were thinking about coming into a seminary and you were thinking about discerning the priesthood?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it was funny. I was talking to someone about this recently, because for whatever reason, like, I remember when I first went to tell my parents, I was really nervous. I don't know why, but for some reason, it was really hard to get out, like, hey, I'm thinking about the priesthood. But when I finally let them know, like, it felt so good to get it out there. Because they were some of the first people I told, other than my priest, who I was kind of doing spiritual direction with. And they were very supportive. My parents have been really good about supporting my siblings and I in whatever we're doing. And they just want us to serve the Lord and do God's will. And I think especially as I've gone further and further in the process of being in seminary, I think they see the joy I get from being in seminary and studying to be a priest and the peace that comes with it. And so they were supportive from the beginning, but I think even more so now that they've seen, like, yes, it seems like this is the path that God has in store for you. So
that's great. It's always really interesting to hear from different seminarians at the Josephinum the reaction of their parents. It really does seem to span the gamut from totally supportive, like in your case, to not sure what to make of it, still kind of learning about it, to even a few I've met. I don't know about you guys. You know, I think of our friend Dustin, who came from Jehovah's Witnesses, whose parents are opposed. You know.
Yeah.
Well, so Chris, tell us about then when you entered formation for the Diocese of Columbus. How did the consideration of the military archdiocese, when did those thoughts start, or how did that sort of figure into all this?
So for me, when I started thinking about the priesthood, it was almost simultaneous with discerning the chaplaincy as well. And I think there are a lot of reasons why I've kind of felt called to the chaplaincy. One of the biggest ones is obviously since my dad was in the Air Force and growing up and moving to the different military bases, a lot of the times, especially the later years when my dad got stationed overseas, we would go to Mass on base a lot more. And so a lot of times my priest would be a chaplain. And so for me, that was just like a very natural consideration.
Got it.
Thinking about the chaplaincy when most of my priests growing up were chaplains themselves. But in addition to that, I had a number of, I think it was like 10% of my high school graduating class that went into the military in some form or another. Both my grandparents served in the military. I've had two great uncles serve in the military. And I've had a lot of other friends and people I know who've served in the military. So I've just grown up in a very active family and friends environment where a lot of people are serving in the armed forces. And so the desire for chaplaincy was there in that sense too, to be there with them and to serve them who are supporting our country.
Now, our listeners have heard us talk a number of times about things that we have to do in seminary in preparation for the priesthood. And since you're studying for the Archdiocese of the Military Services, I'm sure there are some sort of extra special things that you do in preparation for your chaplaincy on top of what you do in preparation for just the regular parish priesthood. So maybe you could tell our listeners a little bit about the extra things that you're required to do in the path that you're on.
Yeah, definitely. Lots of paperwork. But I'm sure you've told your listeners at some point, one of the big parts of seminary formation is actually during the summer, we'll get assigned to parishes throughout our home diocese and be able to serve in that way and get to know the diocese better and learn from the priests in our diocese. One of the things that I get to do that's kind of extra is I get to go to the parishes in the diocese, but I also certain summers get to spend with the military doing training to prepare for chaplaincy. So for example, this last summer I had my first part of training. I was commissioned a second lieutenant for the Air Force last fall.
And congratulations.
Then, thanks. And then this last summer, I went through my first part of training, which was commissioned officer training. So that was 5 weeks long. And that's kind of like similar to what you would expect at a boot camp kind of experience, mm-hmm. Except the difference being they were training us specifically to be officers. And so I was with a lot of that particular training, there were pretty much three groups of people there that they were training to be officers. So it was the medical professionals like doctors and nurses and dentists, and then they had the lawyers, JAG, there, and then of course the chaplain candidates as well. And that was just an amazing experience, a big emphasis on officership and leadership, because obviously as a chaplain, you're there to serve the people. You're a priest, but you're also an officer. And so you have to kind of learn how to address both those sides of the ministry. And so, just what you would expect with, again, with like a boot camp where you're drilling every day, you're getting inspected, your uniforms are getting looked at, and you're going to academic classes, learning about leadership, field exercises. So that was really cool. And if I can share a really quick story
Absolutely.
About that I really enjoyed from that experience of training was my flight. So there were about 250 people who were at this particular training session, and you're broken up into individual flights of like 15 people. And they're the group that you kind of spend your whole time of training with. And my group there were about 15 of us, and it was myself and one other chaplain candidate, and the rest were medical professionals. But the reason why I bring this up is because, one, you get to know your group so well. Like, I really grew close to these people in my flight. But what was cool about it was the opportunity I had to actually kind of be a spiritual support, even as a seminarian. I wasn't necessarily expecting that being at training, but a lot of the other trainees kind of coming, a lot of the other officers kind of coming to you to ask you questions about the faith. And it really just affirmed for me the need for chaplains and just the hunger and thirst that there is for God in the military. And then after that, I had 6 weeks of chaplain candidate training. So that was specifically for just chaplain candidates. There are about 25 of us. Three of us were Catholic, and that was more training focused and on what it means to be a chaplain. And specifically, since I'm doing the Air Force, how does that fit into the overall mission of the Air Force? How do we support the airmen? And so that was a great experience. And I'll have some of that in the future as well, where I'll continue to be in parishes in Columbus and then in the spending time with the military as well.
You're listening to The Seminarian Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. I'm John Nargang from the Diocese of Columbus. Joining me are Rick Childress from the Diocese of Nashville and Rob. Did I say Diocese of Columbus?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're welcome to join us, John.
Diocese of Phoenix. Thank you, Rob. Joined by Rick Childress from the Diocese of Nashville and two seminarians from the Diocese of Columbus, Rob Johnson, who always is watching my back for me, and Chris Yackel, our special guest. And Chris has been telling us about the uniqueness of his sort of position in seminary formation. He is training to be a military chaplain. Now, Chris, you mentioned that you are with the Air Force. And right. so then could you tell us a little bit about the relationship between the Catholic Church and the armed services with these chaplains, how it works, maybe term of commitment and affiliation, maybe even the need for chaplains. I think our listeners might be interested in some of that.
Right. Yeah. So I can start off with just talking about the need for chaplaincy for the Air Force. I know I just talked to someone recently and got the newest numbers. There needs to be about 120 priests in the Air Force to be fully functioning. And we have about 55 right now. Wow. So we're under half, and that's just one of the branches. So the Navy, who serves actually three components. The Navy sends chaplains to the Navy, the Coast Guard, and the Marines, and then the Army, of course, is a huge branch. So we're definitely in dire need of chaplains. And I remember hearing one story that a chaplain told me one time, I might have already told some of you guys this, I don't remember. I tell this story all the time. But he got off a helicopter at one of the FOBs, one of the forward operating bases, which don't get to see a lot of priests in the deployed locations, just because, again, there's so few of them. But this particular priest got off the helicopter and was making his way to the chapel, and two Marines came up to him and said, "Hey, Father, can you hear our confession?" And the priest was like, "Yeah, I'm on my way to the chapel right now. Why don't you follow me?" And they're like, "You don't understand, Father. We just came from the chapel, and the lines wrapped around the chapel." So just they heard that a priest was coming and wanted to take advantage of the sacraments, especially that time for confession. And so it just shows that kind of is one story of many, many stories that just show the great need there is for chaplains in all branches of the military. In terms of the relationship with the military and the church, Rob kind of mentioned it at the very beginning. So Columbus is my home diocese. So this is my home, and this is where I'll serve. He mentioned after ordination, I'll serve here in the diocese for about 3 years, and then I'll go to serve as a military chaplain. And then once I finish my time of service, I'll come back and continue to serve as a priest in the Diocese of Columbus. But how it works is a seminarian or a priest will ask their bishop of their home diocese if it's something that they think would be possible for them to do. And once you get the support of your home bishop, then they work out all the details with the archdiocese for the military. So there's actually a diocese that is specifically designed to serve the military services and their families. And so that's not only the different branches of the military and active, guard, reserves, but also talking about like the VA hospitals and things like that. So it's a huge, huge ministry. So you as a seminarian or priest partner up between your home diocese and the archdiocese for the military, and that's kind of how that relationship works. And the military itself is really supportive. I've found in my experience so far supportive of chaplains, because they recognize just the need and the desire there are to have chaplains from the troops. And it's kind of a cool position for a chaplain, because like one line I learned this summer is, you're a priest to some, but a chaplain to all. So the idea that like when I go serve as a priest someday in the military, I will be a priest to, of course, all the Catholics on base and work with them, like be able to provide the sacraments for them and celebrate Mass for them. But also you're there to support the spiritual needs of everyone on the base and whatever particular units you're assigned to. So it really is a cool position to be able to take care of a lot of people and help them out in any way you can. And in a lot of ways, the chaplain is kind of the one who is able to assesses the situation of the different units and figures out kind of like where the morale level is at, and is able to guide the leadership in any way they can, and also to learn from the enlisted folk and help them out as well.
That's beautiful. I know for me, it kind of reminds me, it seems similar in a way to the parish priest, because I remember reading once that the parish priest, in the eyes of the church, is responsible for all the souls in the parish boundaries, at least for interceding for all the souls, and that would include non-Catholics. So I love to hear this about in the military, that right. They recognize that kind of a role as well, a spiritual availability to non-Catholics.
Right, right.
Now, Chris, I've known some military chaplains in the past, and I know that things that you have to do in the military can sometimes become weigh on you very heavily psychologically. Do you, as a chaplain, future chaplain for the military archdiocese, do you undergo any special training to deal with those things? Like, you know, people who are suffering from PTSD or in a wartime situation. Can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, good question. I think part of it is definitely the training I get to experience during the summer. So this last summer, having the chaplain candidate training, they talked about several of the issues that you deal with as chaplains and kind of how to navigate through those issues. And next summer, this coming summer, I should have the opportunity to have training where I'm actually shadowing a chaplain for several weeks. And that's a great opportunity to kind of ask more personal questions to someone who has actually experienced it and lived it and how they deal with it. And then I'm very blessed being at the Josephinum. I, of course, have Father Lou Iacello there, former chaplain and former chief of chaplains for the Navy. And he's been helpful for me, too, in talking to other chaplains, kind of listening to them and the advice they give on how to deal with the heaviness of the ministry. And I think one huge thing, and this isn't just for the priesthood in the military, but just priesthood in general, and something I've really come to realize in seminary, is the need that there is for relying on your brother priests. And right now for us, our brother seminarians, it's not something that you take on alone. And so definitely as a priest serving down the line and with the military specifically, making sure that I'm staying in touch with my brother priests back here in Columbus and any other priests I know from that I've been through seminary with, or even in the local diocese that my the base that I serve happens to be in, making sure I'm connected with them to continue to maintain that brotherhood with my priests, which definitely helps as well. And of course, the biggest thing of all is the importance of staying soaked in the sacraments and in prayer. So.
That's beautiful. So looking ahead and envisioning yourself in the future as a military chaplain, what are one or two of the more rewarding aspects you think will really touch you in that service?
I think I mean, there's a, I'm sure I could talk about a number of things, but I guess two things that come to mind right now is, one, just definitely being able to bring Jesus to the people through the sacraments, being able to hear people's confessions and being able to celebrate for the Mass. And then also the second thing, because not only as a chaplain do you serve the military members themselves, but you also serve their families. And so working with the families as well, and especially since I am an Air Force brat, a military brat, and have been in the family for
a while. You're not a brat,
time.
Chris. We've known you for a while.
You're definitely not a brat. We know that.
But just to be able to serve the families as well, sure. And kind of bring in my own experience to that. And, you know, I'm so excited to serve as a priest in the military. And I tell people all the time, I'm just as excited to serve as a priest in Columbus. I'm just excited for the priesthood in general. So, I ask the listeners to continue to pray for me and all of us seminarians that we would persevere in our studies and keep up.
Well, we definitely commend you, Chris, for your double service, you know, to the church and to the military. And we certainly promise our prayers and join you in asking all the listeners to pray, especially for our military chaplains. So, and you're a great young leader in our seminary. And so you definitely have our support. So thanks for joining us today.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us for today's Seminarian Show. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. Let us close with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we ask you to watch over our military and all of our chaplains who serve in the military and serve souls. Please protect them and guide them and help them in all things. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The Seminarians is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Seminarians and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancti.